Coupon valid 12/21 to 12/24. Credit offer subject to credit approval. Some exclusions may apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
So, baseball fans, do you really want instant replay? Minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, gym class coming your way. Brand new week, holiday season continues to progress. Welcome into the show. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, again here this week. He's still with us. And you out there on 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Good show, great show. Coming your way today, Mike Halas, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He'll talk about the Hy-Vee Big Four Classic. He was there on Saturday. Two interesting games to talk about. Iowa and Iowa State coming away with the victory in that one. And we will kick that around in other topics with Mike. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. We'll also give the results of the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 from over the weekend. I promise you we will give you the results for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming up from over the weekend. And your phone calls and comments, 319-366-1600. That is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. And do appreciate all their help that they give us right here at KGYM. That is also our phone lines. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Seven more shopping days remaining until Christmas. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon. I just had an extremely exhausting day of online shopping yesterday. That's a lot of work.
Buy local.
I'm still going to buy local. I got some local things to take care of, but I'd never done that before.
How'd it go? Besides being exhausting,
well,
as you said.
I'm just looking at the door for the deliveries. Make sure they show up.
Yeah. Well, Santa's on his sleigh as we speak. I dare say just a few things to talk about. A lot of it nationally. A lot of it dealing with the National Football League. What is a catch? What is a touchdown? What is not a catch? What is not a touchdown? It has been talked about ad nauseum today, but by golly, it is major, and it will get people and teams in the playoffs. Mm. It'll keep teams perhaps out of the playoffs. And how far, I think the bigger subject though is how far is replay gone? And I heard a guest on another national show earlier on today say that, hey, this is what you asked for, America. And the NFL was a little bit leery of it, at least some people, when it was first broached in the National Football League offices that they were going to go to replay. Mark, if we hit, good afternoon, and if we hit the international enough line that we take and frame by frame, like it's the Zapruder film here, analyze things over and over and over again, and I don't know, is it good? People are now complaining that Gene Steratore took out an index card and helped measure a first down. We have to have something complicated for that. We can't use an index card. How dare the National Football League?
You know, I think replay is largely good, but yes, I mean, it seems like every week we're talking about something in this regard, in regards to replays. And let's just go over some of the things that are contained in our KGYM radio poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What was the biggest head-scratching moment from yesterday's NFL action? Gene Steratore's index card measurement.
Loved it. Loved it. They've been doing that for years.
Derek Carr's goal line fumble. The final minutes of the New England-Pittsburgh game. The Rams jumping out to a 40-0 lead on Seattle. That wasn't controversial or under replay.
No, that was just a kicking.
And Juju Smith-Schuster's perfect-inspired celebration. All that in yesterday's NFL action.
Go ahead and vote at KGYMradio.com. Love to see how this all plays out here. And the big thing is, okay, you had the catch, or was it not a catch? in the game between Pittsburgh and New England. That game is probably going to, that play probably determined home field for the AFC. Probably the AFC playoffs are now going to go through. Hey, here's a shocker if you haven't heard this one before. Foxborough, yet again.
Man, New England won't have to leave town for a month.
No. No, you're right.
The only time they have to leave town is to go to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Perhaps. I think. We'll see.
You're talking about Jesse James's situation yesterday for Pittsburgh. First of all, I'm not convinced that Jesse James didn't have his right hand under the ball even when it was moving on the ground. I'm not sure he ever gave up possession of the football. But the replays showed, I guess it hit the ground or he didn't complete the catch. But I guess I'm down on the rule. But if the rule is what it is,
and the ball
hit the ground, then they made the right call. But I'm still not convinced that Jesse James gave up possession of the ball, even though it was moving a little bit.
I'm going by the letter of the law, and ever since Calvin Johnson, week one at Soldier Field on a beautiful, warm, sunny day.
Oh, that was a great call.
Did not complete the catch in the end zone. This is the way it has been. Ask Dez Bryant, ask the Dallas Cowboys, ask a number of receivers out there. This is the way it is. But does that trump the fact that he also broke the plane of the goal line? Now, you've got two of the age-old rules of the National Football League right there. Ball goes over the goal line, boom, touchdown. Apparently, unless you are perhaps bobbling it or didn't complete the catch. So we've learned over the weekend that of the two great NFL rules, completing the catch trumps in a card game right now. This is Full House beating Two Bear. You've got
the ground is the joker in the deck.
Yes, the completing of the catch trumps breaking the plane of the goal line, if it was a catch or not. Your thoughts. Love to hear from you out there, NFL fans, football fans. At 319-366.
Well, there was a situation in the Packer game as well. I forget what receiver it was. It went over the middle and appeared to take a couple, maybe 2.5 steps, got the ball knocked away, and Carolina recovered. And that was questionable in some people's mind as well. So I don't...
Replay has gone too far. In my book, in my estimation. I never want to see it go to balls and strikes. Never, ever, never, never, never. Never. Yes, and I know there are bad umpires out there, but I don't want to ever see it go to a computer because this is the stuff that can happen.
86-36 on the text line. The Patriots lost Tom Brady for what, 4 games because of a strict interpretation of the rule about ball inflation. So it's kind of hard to begrudge them that win based on the strict interpretation of the catch rule.
And I didn't have a dog in the fight yesterday in the Steelers and the Patriots. Yeah, I'm just taking it in like Joe Fan out there. And I knew exactly when it happened. Oh, this is not going to go well.
No, there's a difference there. I mean, the call on the field was a call on the field. Brady broke the rules. Apparently.
Well, he did because he had to sit out.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's in the past right there. 319-366-1600. I just hear the other thing that came up in the Raider game, Derek Carr losing the ball, fumble, was it or not a fumble, blah, blah, blah. You know, if they want to take and go frame by frame on the call, was it a catch, did he complete the catch, whatever the case may be, I am dead set against the whole holding the ball out at the goal line or you're trying to get more yardage and it gets knocked away and, oh, the offense should get that ball back. They're just trying really hard. No, 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 no. And if you go to try to touch the pylon, same thing. No, no, no. You lose the ball. Sorry. You're taking a chance, putting the ball out there with 11 hungry guys trying to knock it away. That's your fault.
Was Carr's knee down almost simultaneously as to when he coughed up the football?
As a Chiefs fan, I don't think I really should answer that question, Mark. I really think I should pass on that. I did have a dog in the fight.
Yeah,
one.
You did.
Oh, man. But I hope that never gets changed. I don't want to see that get changed because it penalizes the defense. Hey, just think of all of the problems and the can of worms that's going to open if you're down on the goal line. Oh, was he reaching out for it? Yeah, he was. Well, offense gets to keep the ball. I just hope that never happens.
Ryan from Walford on the text line. I used to think replay would be good for both baseball and football. But there are still certain plays in both sports that aren't reviewable that could affect the outcome of the game. And the fact you can still argue whether a replay call was right or wrong tells you it's not working like it should. Do away with it.
The whole thing? The entire system? I think there are merits to the replay system, but you get to a point where it's like the we're going to get to college basketball here in just a little bit as far as conference play is concerned and NCAA play, Mark. And what did we say, same thing last year when they take and just dissect everything in the last minute of the game? Well, first of all, why didn't you do that with 18:47 to go in the game when there was a controversial call as well? Mm-hmm. It comes down to the last minute, and that makes it even, you know, whatever. You should do it all the time if you're going to do it in the last minute of the game. Those take forever. You're getting to the point now where replay is just slowing down the game. Everyone kind of loses their mojo at that point. If you see something, great. I think if you don't see something, quit trying to get it frame by frame to try to find something. And I think football fans are getting sick of it out there.
I mean, this wasn't Cincinnati and Cleveland. Sorry, Rick Swann. This was a tremendously important game for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I mean, there's two games left in the season. I understand that. But this is huge. An enormously important game. If it happened in the Cincinnati-Cleveland game, nobody would have cared.
True. 319-366-1600. What do you think out there, everybody? As now the Patriots look like they are going to have the home field advantage. Pittsburgh, and there are still games to be played. I think Buffalo, I know Buffalo goes to New England coming up this week, and then they will close out with another divisional foe.
I'll tell you what, and we've talked about this before. Apart from the replays and everything else, there was a very, very important 55-yard pass interference penalty in the Raider-Cowboy game.
Are you coming around to me, Mark?
55 yards.
Are you coming around to me? To my way of
thinking?
I think
I've always been on that side, but it's just underscored by that call. And I'm convinced that receivers are schooled.
Absolutely.
To draw that penalty. 55 yards.
I'm right with you.
Wow.
I'm right with you. And yes, they are schooled. They are taught how... Hey, the whole back shoulder catch and back shoulder throw is predicated on getting contact between the offense and the defense. Yes, also to catch the ball. I'm not naive enough not to say that, but to create contact. So referees are more apt to throw the flag out there. And like you said, you need 50 yards or something to get yourself into field goal position there at the very end. Just go ahead and chuck it downfield. You're going to get contact down there.
0-4-8-2, in my mind, he had possession of the ball and it crossed the goal line. It should have been a touchdown. You've seen running backs cross the goal line and fumble the ball afterwards, and it's still a touchdown. Daryl and Marion, maybe they should give each team two challenges.
They already do.
Mm-hmm. 0-7-1-5, if James had been touched before the ball went across the goal line, would he have been down? That's a very good question.
Yeah. Going to get to our phone calls coming up here as soon as we get Kyle back in the office.
22-11, if you had replay in 85, you don't have Hotland's game winner. I'm not sure I follow out.
What was that?
If you had replay in 85, you don't have Hotland's game winner. Not sure what was controversial about that.
Let us know. More information on that. You've got our interest peaked.
Was there a call prior to that? I'm forgetting.
3-1-9. Well, are they talking about the Iowa touchdown in the back of the end zone?
Could have been Halverson's catch.
Halverson's catch. Because that was replay would have overturned that.
Mm-hmm.
Replay would have overturned that. 319-366-1600. Oh, okay. Kyle is all right. There we go. We're going to get your phone calls.
Yeah, the
coming
intent
up.
Was Halverson's catch in the end zone. Yeah.
Okay, very good. See, it took me a while to kind of connect the dots on that one. I thought they were saying that Iowa wouldn't have won the game. They're saying that Iowa did win the game.
Well, Hotlands wouldn't have been a game winner then.
Right. Well, you never know. I don't like to play that game of, okay, everything would have gone the same after that would have happened. You can kind of have fun with that as well. 319-366-1600, your text, and we'll get a couple of people on the phones coming up here.
As far as Steratore's use of the index card, have you seen that before?
Oh, yeah. Many, many times.
I'm not sure I have. Wasn't it doubled over?
Yeah.
Minor detail.
Well, Gene Steratore, I think he's a good official.
Well, he's a showman, too.
And he is a showman out there. So, yeah, you're darn
right.
See
the smirk on his face after he did that?
Absolutely. I think it should be index card night in Carver next time he's there doing a Big
Ten
game.
Hey, you're on to something.
Index card night? We'll see. I can run that by the people down in Iowa City. We're going to get to Michael Oss. We'll have him coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. There was Iowa and Iowa State, UNI and Drake basketball. Also, the Iowa women beat UNI yesterday. Iowa State women get a much-expected win over UC Riverside yesterday. And that was, as many people thought, would be fairly easy, and it was.
Stop me if you've heard this before. Megan Gustafson, co-player of the week in the Big Ten. She's been honored as either on the honor roll or player of the week 6 straight weeks now, I think. Yeah.
Either
Gustafson.
Completely player of the week or co-player of the week or high honorable mention player of the week. 321. Let's go to line one. I think we got Wally here. Hi, Wally.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's up today?
I think they ought to change the name of the crackback block to payback block. To tell you the truth, every time I see a crackback block, or not every time, but a lot of times, these guys are just lowering the boom on whoever they get a chance to hit. And the point I want to make is that these guys that are getting blocked aren't even really in the play. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. And yeah, depending on the situation, I'm not going to ever say that there isn't intent on some of these players when they do that. I'm not going to say that every time, and that's certainly not the case. But certainly at times, yeah, you're darn right, especially interceptions. How many times? Well, in the NFL, Jim McMahon, he got taken out. How many quarterbacks have been taken out during interceptions? Because that's, you know, the red light goes on and says free shot at quarterback.
So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Anything else, Wally?
Well, I just want to say, I mean, they ought to, you know, take a real hard look at, you know, was there a need to throw a crackback block? Was the guy going to interfere with the play? You know, was he stopping a touchdown, this and that? Or, and couldn't he have just pushed the guy out of the way with his hands instead of, you know, giving him a right shot or a left shot with his forearm and his elbow to
right.
A
right.
Lot of times it's to the head. But anyway, no, that's it. I don't like that block at all. Yeah, it's kind of cool to see it happen, but it's kind of chicken.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. Well, here's the deal. They won't publicize it, but you will get everybody that does that is going to get a letter from the commissioner, and there will be a fine attached to that said letter. And that has happened with most of those crackback blocks, like the celebration was celebrating, I guess, yesterday, for lack of a better term.
Hmm.
One of our choices on our Emil's Hideaway poll question as well.
Bam Bam on the text line at 2136. Since they screwed Megatron out of a TD 5 years ago, this has continued to be just baffling. It needs to be simplified. Grab it, control it, touchdown, no matter what happens after that. Ditch that whole process of control language in the rule.
Was this what put it over the top to have that rule at least examined and to come up with something? Either keep it as what it is now, you got must complete the process of the catch, or go back to like what Bam Bam was talking about. I don't know what the right answer is.
2134, as a longtime official, replay has changed the way officials work.
Yes.
They don't care so much about the call as much as they care about the grade they get after the game.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly at the level of pro football, especially college, not so much. High school, no. And obviously, there's no replay or anything like that. But you see college referees not making a call as quickly. Now you see there was one play in the Seattle game last night. No one made a call. Everyone was just – there had to be 15 seconds before somebody made a call. Problem is, with replay, now – okay, here's the call that was made. Now, can replay change it? So the officials kind of look at each other, kind of do something slowly, and then they make touchdown or, you know, turnover. Or they talk about it for a little bit first. You don't see, you know, and God bless our guy here in town, former official, who right now... You know, back in those days, and they got most of those calls right too, by the way, back in the day in the 80s and the 90s, 70s, even prior to that.
45-70, pretty sure the Cardinals won a World Series in 85. Where was replay? It was a Don Denkinger call.
Yep, replay would have changed that. But again, I'm not going to play the, okay, everything else would have played right along to the script after that happened. You see what I mean, Mark, on that?
Yeah, we don't know what was going to happen after that.
It could have changed everything. What is that? Isn't that
change nothing?
Right. It's Back to the Future. The movie rules. You go back there, and if you change something, who knows how that's going to change the timeline of how things progressed after that. Yes, that call, but I don't know how the game would have played out after that. Maybe it changes, you know, 180 degrees. There you go. 3:26. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up in just a little bit. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit about Iowa and Iowa State from Saturday. The Hy-Vee Big Four Classic, you and I, Drake, Iowa, and Iowa State. Iowa beats Drake. Iowa State gets the best of you and I. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk about that. Mike Halas is going to join us as well, so stay with us. More to come in the Monday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
The Ford year-end sales event is in full swing.
Okay, 50-pound bag of dog food, 2-gallon bowl and dish, extra, extra, extra large dog bone?
Yep.
What kind of dog did you adopt?
I got a puppy.
What kind of puppy needs a 5-foot sleeping bed?
A St. Bernard.
Oh, hope you have a big SUV.
I do. It's a Ford Explorer.
The Ford Explorer, with available class-exclusive powerful third-row seating. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday savings. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months plus $1,000 Ford credit cash on a full lineup of Ford SUVs like Explorer, Edge, and Escape. Hurry, offer ends January 2nd, 2018. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from an authorized Ford dealer stock by January 2nd, 2018. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the gym class on KGYM.
Mark tells me that Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz meeting with the media right now. Is that correct, Mark?
Actually, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker, coordinators.
Oh, Brian Ferentz, all the coordinators. Yeah. Okay, very good.
Iowa's going to be wearing white in the Pinstripe Bowl, if that mattered to you. Iowa will be the visitor.
Wonderful.
In more ways than one.
3:29 here on the program. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a couple of moments. We did have the Hy-Vee Big Four Classic over the weekend. I did not see it live. I recorded them and watched them last night. And much easier to watch them when, A, you know how the outcome was, and, B, when you can just zip right through things. And I thought Iowa, and remember, Iowa has not been together as a unit all year. I think that was the first time all year that the complete Iowa team was out there. And I put an asterisk next to that because Cordell Pemsel played, but he was not 100%. Pretty close, though. I think he was 95%-ish, right around there. Drake hung for a while, but then, you know, Iowa showed they warmed down a little bit. And I thought it was a very good performance by the Hawkeyes, in my opinion.
Well, I think it came down to size, depth, and energy, in my mind, on Iowa's side of the court, or Iowa's side of the bench. And I think it was another game that just underscored Nicholas Bear's importance to this basketball team.
What a day he had.
Not only the statistics that showed up in the box score, but, and we've zeroed in on this before, his ability to, at the top of that press, influence passes, tip them, keep balls in play, just kind of an uncanny ability in that regard, and it's very important to this basketball team, I know that.
That was the first game. The second game, you and I, with a 3-point lead at the half against Iowa State, and we mentioned last week, I should say, Mark, that I thought you and I would guard Iowa State's perimeter pretty well. I also thought they would possibly should win the battle of the interior. They did not. And then Iowa State got going with Wigington in the second half. I thought you and I got a little bit tired. And, boy, Wigington went off. And if he plays like that, Big 12 has really picked up their game as of late. Oklahoma got a big win over Wichita State over the weekend. Really, the Big 12 has taken a big step up as far as their RPI toward the top. And I don't know how Iowa State's going to do in the Big 12, but it's a fun team to watch.
Big 12 has 6 ranked teams right now, if I counted correct, in today's polls. And Wigington, I thought, was the big difference in the game. And that's not a huge revelation. He's a wonderful player who's going to do great things this year and however long he's at Iowa State. I thought Bennett Cook would be a bigger difference in the game for you and
I. I thought he would, and he just did not have a good game.
Yeah.
And Cameron Lard had something to do with that. If Lard comes through, plays like he did in that game against UNI, I think the Cyclones have a shot maybe to surprise a little bit. I still think they're going to be a team that's going to be on right on the cusp. Because you take a look at it, TCU is one of the 4 unbeaten teams in the country. Kansas is Kansas. West Virginia lost opening night on an Air Force base. Have not lost since then, and they lost to Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor is Baylor. They're going to be fine. Texas Tech, I think, has only 1 loss right now. So Big 12 is going to be very, very tough. We're going to talk more about that with Mike Halas. We're going to do that coming up next. A reminder, coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, they have your chance to score a $50 gift card to Elevate Salon and Spa. That's a $50 gift card toward any of their services like hair, nails, makeup, or massage at either location, Edgewood Station Southwest or in the Northtown Market on Blair's Ferry Road. Great stocking stuffer or for your significant other out there. And they will have that for you coming up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock and all this week right here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Stay tuned, Mike Halas, when we come back.
Treat her right this season with a gift card from Elevate Salon and Spa. This little beauty comes stylishly wrapped and ready to place under the tree or in a stocking. Choose from any of the Salon and Spa packages or let Elevate help you customize the perfect gift. Elevate her holiday with a gift card from Elevate Salon and Spa, Edgewood Station Southwest and in Northtown Market on Blair's Ferry Road. Stop in and the Elevate staff will be happy to help you or feel free to order online at ElevateSalons.com.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Brian Ferentz meeting the media right now in Iowa City. We will have audio coming up later on. Kyle is down there on it. And the first thing that was uttered by Brian Ferentz, Boston College reminds us of ourselves. So there you go. First thing said by Brian Ferentz out there today. 319-366-1600. That is your text line, the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Coming up later on, high school basketball, a special Monday night edition, good one, and non-conference boys play tonight. It will be top 10 in 4A. Linmar hosting top 10 in 3A. Mount Pleasant will have it for a little bit earlier tonight. There is no sophomore game, so it will be a 6:50 pregame on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, also at KGYMRadio.com and the KGYM Radio app. Just click on the South Gym stream for that one. And Linmar hosting Mount Pleasant Varsity only coming up tonight for you right here on KGYM. Also coming up right now on KGYM, Mike Halas, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff online at thegazette.com. Also follow him on Twitter. And that, of course, is at Halas. Mike, happy holidays to you. How are you doing on a Monday?
Fine. Hanging in there. How about yourself?
Not bad. I'm kind of wishing... part of me wants a white Christmas a little bit, and then I want it to kind of disappear.
Yeah, you want things just so, huh?
I want things just so.
Yeah.
Why not?
Get in the line, buddy. Hey, Brian Ferentz says Boston College reminds him of Iowa, huh?
Yes.
Well, go figure. They're both 7-5, and they're both playing in the Pinstripe Bowl. Of course they remind him of Iowa.
Hey, I just pass along the news. I'm just the middleman.
Really?
Hey, all was right for Iowa and Iowa State. Mike, in Des Moines, you were there. Let's talk about Iowa first, and I think you pointed out you thought it was Iowa's best game of the year, right?
I don't think there was any doubt that it was their best game of the year. They were dominant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was anything they didn't do well. Got a lot of good individual performances. Nicholas Bear was a big spark, of course. Jordan Bohannon was really good. Cordell Kemsel was really good. Luca Garza was really good. It seems to be as Garza goes, so go the Hawkeyes. And Drake didn't have anything that they could do with Iowa's side. Tyler Cook was really good, too. I mean, Drake doesn't have a starter, has one starter taller than 6'2". And you shouldn't lose to a team with that kind of height if you're in Iowa. And they didn't. They took advantage of their strengths in that game, and they worked them really well.
Really, that was, and I said this earlier in the show, that was kind of the, even though Pemsel was not 100%, but he was pretty close and close enough to play, but that was kind of the first time Iowa was intact, had all their players readily available in a game, although I guess Connor McCaffrey is still out, so maybe that's not a correct statement anyway. But they're getting closer and closer.
I mean, he played.
Yeah.
He got gassed very easily. I sat near him. I sat near the Iowa bench, and he would play 3 minutes, and he would come out, and he would just be gassed. So he's got a ways to go. But I think he's helping them. I mean, it's not the same thing as playing two games in 3 days against Big Ten competitions, and that won't be, very far off. So that's a whole different story.
Would you redshirt Connor McCaffrey if you had, if they asked you your opinion, or would you play him?
No, I wouldn't redshirt anybody. I don't think that they have any one established area where they can afford to lose any depth, and especially in the guard court.
Mike, I tend to gush about Nicholas Bear and his uncanny ability to, really influence a game, and we saw a lot of that on Saturday. And I'm just not talking about his points and rebounds and steals, but I think you know what I'm talking about. And not every player has that.
No, that's true. It's just as simply put as energy level of basketball instincts, instinctively going to the right place at the right moment and of not making mistakes, at least not mistakes of passivity. In any sport, I don't mind mistakes of aggression as much as mistakes of indecision. And whenever Bear does have a mistake, it's not from a lack of effort. And I think that he does rub off on his teammates. They gush about him like you just did. They did after the game. Cook and Bohannon both raved about him. And, I mean, he had 14 rebounds. And you get 14 rebounds in any Division I game, that says plenty. But then he also had 5 assists and he had 5 steals. Those are great numbers.
They really are. And you mentioned at the end of your column that there's still a lot of work to go for this Iowa team before we dive into UNI and Iowa State. But at least there may have been a foundation laid at Wells Fargo on Saturday in that game against the Drake Bulldogs. But still, you got to kick yourself and drag yourself out of an 0-2 hole in conference play. It can be done, certainly. But they got to win all the games at home more than likely and probably go at least 500 on the road.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going. I mean, if you're talking NCAA tournament, and that is the objective, they're 6-6. They're going to win tomorrow night. They've got Colorado up in Sioux Falls, which will be a hard game. Colorado's a decent team. So 7-6, 7-7, or 8-6, and I think they've got Northern Illinois at home. 9, okay. So, you're probably going to have to go 11-7 in the conference, 12-6 to make the big tournament.
What about this?
I don't think 11-7 would do it. Of course, it also depends on who you beat, when you beat them, etc.
We've seen a lot of great guards at Iowa State, and Lindell Wigginton's just a freshman. I want to get your impression of seeing him up close and personal.
I've seen him twice now. Really impressed. Sort of one of these he plays in the flow of the game. Freshman, doesn't take crazy shots, doesn't seem to get lost on the court at all, and has a lot of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last 5 games, he's averaging over 20 points. We're talking about a first-year freshman at a major program. You just don't see that very often.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I didn't catch that. Somebody just said, really?
No, I was predicating into my next question.
Oh.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's all right. That's all right. Funny.
I
like them a lot, and they've got some pieces. I just don't know if they have enough pieces to be able to compete consistently in the Big 12.
That was going to be my question, Mike. I really thought you and I had a chance to win this game. I thought UNI's guards got a little tired, and the UNI's big men did not come through. Cameron Lard played a really good game, I thought, for Iowa State. But saying that, the Big 12, it had a little bit of a rocky start the first couple weeks, but you take a look at the Big 12 right now, TCU's unbeaten. Texas Tech may be the surprise team in the country. Haven't played the world's toughest schedule, but they're 9-1. West Virginia, outside military bases, is 9-0. Oklahoma beat Wichita State over the weekend. K-State's 9-2. Kansas is 8-2. Iowa State has a pretty good team, and I still think they're going to be right on the borderline to try to get into the NCAA tournament or the NIT tournament.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think the Big 12 is the best conference in the country, and I'm not sure it's close. I haven't looked at the ACC, but from top to bottom, there are no easy nights. And the teams you just ticked off, Oklahoma has a player named Trey Young who's just fantastic.
Freshman.
Yeah, so good. Kansas is finding its footing. They'll probably win the Big 12 again. They've done it every year since, I think, Roosevelt was president. And yeah, but the thing is, what I didn't know about Iowa State coming into this season, and certainly after two games, was are they even going to be competitive? Are they going to be entertaining? Are they going to be hard to watch? And first two games in, it was like, they haven't lost since. And they played a good Northern Iowa team Saturday in Des Moines, and for 30 minutes it was, they absorbed a lot of shots. Northern Iowa played well for three-fourths of that game. But then Wigginton, with help from Nick Weiler-Babb, who's playing a wonderful point guard, Wigginton took the game over. And Iowa State got itself what I think is going to hold up as a really good win in March.
What did Iowa State do to take Bennett Cook essentially out of the game?
I'm not sure. I saw Cook play against UNLV a couple weeks ago, and UNLV's got a 7'1" freshman center who is terrific. I mean, I think he's an NBA first-round pick next year. And Cook just took it to him. It was that simple. But against Cameron Lard and, to a lesser extent, against Solomon Young, Cook just didn't have a good game. And it hurt you and I, and it was one of the stories of the game. Lard didn't do a whole lot in the second half, but he played 12 minutes straight in the first half, and he was really good. It's sort of, if that's a glimpse of the future with Lard and Wigginton, they're going to be an interesting team in the next couple of years.
I would agree. And Wigginton in the Iowa game took over in the second half. Wigginton in the UNI game took over in the second half. It reminds me a lot of Iowa State football when they had Seneca Wallace. He was the best player in the field, and they won a lot of games that way. And just kind of interested to see how he plays when he gets into the Big 12.
Well, he's a player, and he's going to be up against a lot of players. But so far, what more could you ask from him? Those two games you just mentioned, those were showcase games. And this is a guy from Nova Scotia. You don't think that basketball is pushing soccer as the world's most popular sport. The team coming in to play Iowa tomorrow is Southern Utah. They've got players from Croatia. They've got a player from the Congo. And I think they've got at least two, maybe three Canadians. This is right behind soccer. This is the world's game.
Michael Haas joining us here in the Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:48 as we talk a little basketball. UNI's not done. They got Xavier coming in to the McLeod Center on Friday night. Very interesting game. You don't see somebody of Xavier's ilk going to Cedar Falls very often.
No, I mean, if people like basketball and they live in that area, I don't know why they wouldn't want to go to that game. Xavier is just, I mean, Xavier's basketball has become basketball old money. The last 20 years, they're just a perennial team in the NCAA tournament. This year, they're especially good. And on its home court, UNI is, maybe somebody will get them, but I think they're going to be hard to beat by anybody up there. They do have a good team, and their RPI is still in the top 20 in the country. So that is a game that I'm looking forward to watching.
We spent a good portion of the first part of the program, Mike, talking about replay, and I don't know how much time you spent watching the NFL, but if you're on social media day, you can't really avoid the discussions. You've seen it in college. Your thoughts on replay in general.
Well, I love it because it causes chaos.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah, and you, as I said on this show several times, chaos in which nobody gets hurt, I think is fantastic. Last night, I was in a public place last night, and they had the Patriots-Steelers game on, and I didn't really want to stay, but it's like, okay, I got to see how the Steelers drive ends. And they throw the pass, and the guy lunges over the goal line, touchdown, okay, I can go, I leave, I went home. And a couple hours later, I found out the Patriots won the game.
Couldn't have spent three or four more minutes there.
yeah, three or four more minutes and probably a lot of epithets from people in the establishment. And then I watch the Cowboys-Raiders for reasons I can't explain, just inertia, I guess, because I don't care. You know, maybe a story will break about Jerry Jones that, never mind. But... there were things in that game that just boggled the mind. You know, the deal with the index card measuring the first down. I mean, everybody said it in different ways, but this league is like, I mean, this is one of the most powerful organizations on the planet. It's got more money than probably 3/4 of all the nations, you know. And they're deciding these games that are supposed to mean something by just, the guy folds up a sheet of paper and I mean, that is so fantastic.
We've got to have a standard index card now, don't we, Mike?
I don't think so.
Do you like my suggestion? I think we should have index card day.
Well, pull out a legal pad for crying out loud.
At Carver when Gene Steratore comes for the first time.
and then they lose the game. Oakland loses the game when the quarterback lunges and loses control of the ball and goes out of the end zone. But if you hand it off to a running back and he leaps over the goal line, then the ball can get away from him and everything's fine. You know, I don't know. The whole thing is cockeyed. And somebody said, why don't they enforce, how come on every field goal attempt, the holder's knee is down? how can anyone? Now, in the pros, it doesn't matter, but in college, that should be it. The play should be dead, isn't it?
You know what? I know in high school, there are, when you go for a situation, you go for two on a fake, on a field goal or whatever, I think they, at one point at least, had to lift that knee up before they caught the ball. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you. It's a head-scratcher.
Everybody today's talking about the NFL because of that stuff. So do you think the NFL really minds?
No, they love it.
No, they don't care. They don't care who wins or loses. you know, it's are people talking about us? Are people going to tune in again next week? And the narrative for a lot of this season is, oh, the ratings are down, which I don't believe for a second.
No,
I think
no.
More people watch these games in different ways and hard-to-measure ways than they ever did yeah. before.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, right. The NFL's not popular anymore. You know, and neither is booze.
Poll question tomorrow. What grade of paper do you prefer officials using?
A heavy stock. Something like that. Hey, before we let you go, Wisconsin has just announced Frank Kaminsky's jersey is going to be retired, interestingly enough.
I like Frank Kaminsky. I always thought he was a heck of a college player.
Yeah, pretty good honor for him.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, that's great, you know. And Fran McCaffrey is going to the Siena Hall of Fame. They announced that this afternoon.
That's right. That's right. So who knew there was a Siena Hall of Fame? But now we do.
are you guys in any Hall of Fames?
None that I am. Well, yes.
You're
I guess.
Headed for one.
Well, the Iowa High School Media Award.
I do have that. That's the same thing.
I'm very honored to have that.
Well, you deserve it.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate
Mark,
that.
Are we in any halls of fame?
I'm afraid so. My high school and college hall of fame.
There you go.
You know what? The only thing I ever get from my high school or college is. Request to donate money.
Your high school's closed, for crying out loud.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You know, the only time they acknowledge my existence is they want some money. It's like, there's no love in that.
What you got cooking this week, Mike?
And I'll tell you what, they've had some Hall of Famers who are really stretching the word fame. I'm going to take the next few days off, and I'm going to rest up, enjoy the Christmas week, and then get ready to go to Memphis, Tennessee.
Sounds good. Enjoy the barbecue. Want to get you down there.
They have that.
They do. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, man, after the bowl game, and happy holidays to you and yours. We appreciate talking with you on Mondays.
Yep.
Same to you guys. All the best. Merry Christmas, etc., and to your listeners.
Thanks, Mike.
356, Michael Oss. He's headed to Memphis. We'll talk with him in a couple weeks when he gets back on that Monday after the Saturday game with Iowa State taking on the Memphis Tigers. Yes, Frank Kaminsky's number is going to be retired. I was a little bit surprised by that. Good player, really good player. But Wisconsin's had a bushel basket full of good players, and I'm just kind of wondering, okay, what made Kaminsky so much better than the rest of those guys?
Like Mike said, he's just a really good college basketball player.
I'll ask Jason Bohannon and Zach Bohannon.
They probably concur.
I'll ask him. I'll ask him next time I see him out there. Hey, before we go, pick six first, Mark. Two things. One, pick six.
Scott Unash has won it back-to-back and has earned a $30 gift card from Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub to Fresh in Marion.
Oh, Fresh!
He rode your coattails.
Wow, awesome.
And he has sent a text thanking you.
Well, Fresh, thanks for choosing to hitch your wagon to me.
No thanks to me. The gym class has gained 4 games this week and taken a 2-game lead in the team standings. How about that?
How about that? We get maybe bowl games are good for us. The king of the bowl games right now. Yeah. That doesn't happen very often. The other thing, very sad piece of news, both on a high school front and just on bowlers front. Plaza Lanes burned down in Des Moines overnight. Long time establishment over in the capital city and the host of the state bowling tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced they're going to rebuild, but obviously several bowling teams are now displaced, and also they got to find a new place to hold the state bowling tournament.
Yeah, kind of an iconic house over there, and I saw pictures and words on it today, and Is there any word as to where the state tournaments will be?
None as of now.
All right.
None as of now, but they will find a place and somebody will step up in the bowling community.
Yep.
So our thoughts with the people over there at Plaza Lanes. Tough break right there. All right, Linmar hosting Mount Pleasant boys basketball tonight. Myself, Phil Dunn with the call, 107.5, 106.3 FM will be on the air at 6:50. Coming your way tonight. Tomorrow, Wyatt Schultz will be joining us. Coming up on Wednesday, Mark Ironside and Chris Liss. Have a very good Monday, Mark.
You as well.
All right. You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM. Have a great Monday.
With Pennzoil Synthetics in your engine, you can let your horse in your engine. You can let your horse in-